wait till I get my money right.
Attention. InvestFest 2024 is coming back to Atlanta, and we at Earn Your Leisure are doing a crazy promotion. For every item you purchase on InvestFestEYL.com, we'll submit your name in a raffle to win an all-inclusive experience. To InvestFest 2024, you're automatically entered into the raffle to win this all-inclusive experience. Here's what you'll win. Round-trip airfare to Atlanta for two from Friday to Monday, or a $1,000 transportation and food stipend. One hotel room for three nights from Friday to Monday. Two VIP tickets to InvestFest. Two nightlife wristbands to all InvestFest Entertainment Network events. And black car service to and from Atlanta Airport. This offer runs until the end of June. Get your merch at InvestFestEYL.com and have a chance to win the grand prize. See you at InvestFest 2024.
We've been watching the news, and we have been seeing that there's an uprising that's happening in Haiti, right? And how the news had painted it was that it was gangs have taken over the streets of Haiti. They've exiled the president. The president can't come back to the country, and he's kicked out. And it's just lawlessness in the streets. And that's all I saw. But when I saw you speak on CNN, and you kind of gave a different perspective. You gave a more like overview that made a lot of sense. So I think the first thing that I would like is for you just to explain to the audience from your vantage point, what exactly is currently going on in Haiti, and where are we now today?
Okay, definitely. So I would say the first thing with the audience is there is a documentary called The Ghost of Cité Soleil that we did in 2005, and this documentary, it connects the connections with the gangs and the politicians, like it puts it together. And I think if y'all haven't gotten a chance, definitely look at that. It's called The Ghosts of Cité Soleil. It's a very important documentary because it'll help you understand. So for example, I was watching the Bob Marley One Love, and y'all saw how they shot at Bob Marley. If y'all never got a chance, definitely check that movie out, right? Because there's a connection here. So what Bob Marley was fighting for was so the parties can get together versus being divided. They could be more unified. So in this process, they shot at Bob Marley, and he ended up going to England, later coming back playing the One Love concert. But if y'all see the magnitude of how Kingston, Jamaica was, fire, bodies on the floor, all kind of stuff, it reminds me sort of like what's going on in Haiti right now. So it just to understand and put Haiti in perspective, why should we care? So I think like one of the things, like when I was in Black History in America, one of the things that I wish that they had mentioned, you know, because my uncle, one of them being a scholar at a very early age, you know, one of the things they told me about was, you know, the Battle of Savannah, 1779, the American Revolution, and how the Haitians played a role within that revolution. So I was like, there's no way you're going to teach me about American history or African American history, and you don't put that in there. So for me, I want y'all to understand that we're way more connected than we are divided. And saying that, where we are today, we're in a position where y'all saw that they murdered the Haitian president. So think about this. 3 years ago, they murdered this dude. Now, think about the resources that we have if we wanted to track this down. The reason why I say this, here's something that you might not know. One of the biggest embassies, U.S. embassies, period, perhaps one of the biggest in the world, is in Haiti. So we have literally one of the biggest embassies. So based off of that, I think, you know, there's not an intelligence that we want to find out that we can't find out. So in this process, to say they killed the Haitian government, we 3 years in, and it's still moving very slow. So in this process, hails a prime minister called Ariel Henry. Now, when this dude take power, the thing was he was supposed to do elections in 6 months. I guess the power was so sweet for him that he dangled his arms. And in this process, 300,000 people are displaced. over like, think of like over 3,000 deaths in like a year. It's almost like you in a war inside of a war. So what happened was the gangs was like, hold up. This is like really messed up right now. What if we turn our arms towards the people that that actually gave us the guns, right? So this is one narrative, and this is very important. And again, I'm not preaching violence, but it's important to understand that these guns didn't just appear out of nowhere. Somebody had to give these boys these very expensive guns. So in this process, they said, okay, we're no longer gang members. We're going to call ourselves men of arms now. We're revolutionaries, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to fight for our country. So in this process, Ariel Henry leaves the country to go to Kenya. And again, this is something else that I'm not for, to get Kenyan forces to come back to Haiti to fight. Of course, this would be backed up by, I think, a $200 million budget. And again, per year. So I'm like, but hold up, this makes no sense, because why don't that money go towards training the police force in Haiti and stealing that, and focus on putting Haiti's army back in place, being that in the Caribbean, we're still like the biggest people with 11 million people. So when he goes to Kenya, this is when the revolution rises on different levels, right? And I use the word revolution as a word in saying that everybody decided their version of what the revolution was gonna be. So the guys who's no longer call themselves gangs, they're like, yo, we are men and we gonna revolutionize to be free. Then you got different people saying we gonna revolutionize to topple the system, right? In this process, total anarchy, right? And you also have now in Jamaica, which is a small group called CARICOM, of eight people that is supposed to decide the transition of the Haitian government moving forward, and they still cannot decide that. So where we are today, we're in a brink where the planes can't land in Haiti. So that means aid can't come into Haiti. We're in a point where now you can't tell the difference between the cops and the robbers, right? Because everything now is infused into forms of infiltration. So it's total, and in this anarchy, what we notice is that the solution for this has to be in the hands of Haitian people. And the reason why I say this is because we've seen that through policy, it has failed Haiti. Like, these policies that are put in place have failed Haiti. I don't think that it was smart for Haiti's army to be dismantled. I think you could have pulled parts of institution. I think that when people hear of army, I mean, the first thing that I think about is a tool of discipline where kids can go get education, learn a tool, get them out of their rural areas and give them a different environment. So a lot of that is lost. So where are we at today? We are waiting for the 8-member council, which is called, which is being worked around by CARICOM, which is in the Caribbean. So this is another word for y'all. People be like, yo, Clef, what's CARICOM? I mean, think of CARICOM like all of the leaders of the Caribbean that get together and they help shape decisions. You know what I mean? So in this process, the people on the ground in Haiti do not agree with this 8-member council that's being set up. They feel that the council and that idea should come from the actual Haitian people. So in saying that, you have a constant movement on the ground now where, you know, these the bad people, let's just call them that because the good people wouldn't do that. The bad forces are still forms of kidnap, still forms of rape, still forms of pillaring the innocent. So we're at that pattern right now, which is a very tricky pattern. And it's important that we get past it. That's where we at.
Clef, that was a very informative. Few questions. When you think about the leadership part, that was interesting. You said that it was from an outside source, right? Coming from a Jamaican conglomerate. Obviously trying to get the Kenyan military involved. majority of what you're speaking of, this uprising is happening in Port-au-Prince, the largest city, the capital city, right? When you're talking about the airport is closed, we're talking about prisoners being freed, we're talking about gangs united. Are there other regions inside of the country that we could, that leadership can be formed from and create, I guess, that new form of leadership, or is Port-au-Prince the place where it has to come from?
Okay, this is a very great question. So to answer your question, now, I try to become president. I ran for president when I did, like in 2012. It's for this exact reason you just said. I was like, I remember like when Kingston was totally messed up. And the idea was like, you know, let's focus on Montego Bay, Ocho Rios, different parts of the island. Let's start the Come Back to Jamaica campaign. You know, let's figure out a duty-free zone. Let's figure out tax incentives to start to make people focus on the other side of the island. So to your point, I always say that Haiti's problem is a PR problem because people look at Port-au-Prince as in the total country. But what we're going through right now, in order for the northern part and different part places, like I'll give you some cool names, Ukap. There's another place called Jacmel. That's where the surfers be going, and they don't tell too many people, so like, you know, mad people don't show up. There's another place called Jeremy, very green. So in order for these places to still develop, right, you still have a capital where the majority of the businesses, so people come to the capital to make business. So in order to move forward, we would have to start to create bigger industries outside of the capital, right? So we start to focus on the north, right? One of Haiti's greatest assets is the human capital and the soil, right? Haiti was known for being like the lead export of sugar at one time. Again, I always say, if it ain't broken, don't fix it, right? This soil is one of the biggest assets that Haiti possessed. So to your point, it would have to start, the reshape of the thinking has to start with the Haitian Constitution itself, right? So the Constitution, the Haitian Constitution, I feel needs to be amended. Amended so what you've just said can become a reality. And which parts of the Constitution should be amended? One of the parts is, I say that the future of Haiti is in the diaspora, not in Haiti. The future of Haiti is here, and the Haitians that live up here. Why I say that is because half of, when you look at the treasure in Haiti, the amount of money that's there, I'm not sure if y'all know, but the diaspora, we contribute billions of dollars a year to Haiti just from the transfers alone. So we should have a say on who the president is, who the senator is, who the deputy is. We from here should have a say in a vote because we are Haiti's economical force. Because now if we could start to have a say in a vote, we can start to shape other parts of Haiti, as in the diaspora, right? Focus on the anti-corruption law, make it easy for people here that want to go back to their island and start export, that want to invest in the natural resources in the country from the mining on down, give them an opportunity. So I think that in order to put the diaspora in these positions of power, we're going to have to focus on one of the number one things is amending the Constitution so that it can give us more rights.